Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I exercise, I'm not being responsible because I'm not doing what I should be doing. If I'm doing what I should be doing, I'm not exercising, which is also what I should be doing. What are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Jen calling from Murphy's.
Oh, good morning, Jen.
Good morning. So I wanted to call because, or put myself in the queue, because just found this exercise really, really helpful. One of those places where, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, I never saw that before, or that's new information, but that it's a different angle in, and it rearranges things. And boy, does that start, well, actually, the image that just dropped in is, you know, the lock, the suddenly, it, like, that turns, which turns that, which turns that, which turns that. And so I just have had so much fun in the last 24 hours seeing those two bad choices everywhere. So,
seeing those two bad choices everywhere.
That's everywhere. And yeah. I just, it's really a brilliant tool.
Uh-huh.
So I'll tell you what the first one, so I could really see what the one side was. Like, yeah, you know, don't bother. It's never going to happen. You're not going to do it. You know, so just give up and admit you're a failure, right? That's the one side. And the other side, I was like, well, let me see, because it's not as clear. And then I really, it just was brilliant. The other side is, sure, that's fine, do it. Dedicate your life to worthless navel-gazing, like doing something that doesn't have any impact on anything. And so essentially, any time I'm actually keeping this shocking amount of time.
Whoa. Hang on, Jen. Go back. You just broke up. So anytime I'm actually
keeping the commitment, which is a huge portion of the time when I realize it, that the other bad choice sucks all the life out of it and basically says, yeah, but you're never, I mean, it, sure, do that, but it's really pointless. And plus, you have to give up everything that truly makes life worth living to have it.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
So it's I just had an image of a tree, right? And you start out with the first, you know, there's the big, here the two limbs go in opposite directions, right? And then off of each one of those are littler forks, littler forks and littler forks. So no matter where you find yourself, there comes that same dualistic negativity.
Exactly. So then all day I was playing with it in terms of like this one little thing came up and I realized literally here were the two choices that were being offered to me internally. You can either do that and be completely resentful and be, quote, taken advantage of, or you can not do it and be completely self-centered and selfish. Those are your two choices. And what I saw.
Go ahead, enjoy yourself.
Yes, exactly. So the two choices are, it's up to you. You can feel bad or you can feel bad. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, and so, it's either arsenic or strychnine. Really, you're a free person. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's
name your poison.
Your choice. You knock yourself out. I mean, whichever one you want to do, right?
Uh-huh.
So in seeing that, I was having so much fun with it. So I was looking at, gosh, why is this so... What about this is so helpful? And what I saw was that it highlights the absurdity of what's going on and what's offered to us. And it feels like in being completely present to that, then what happens is I actually see the true choice, which feels like the choice to be in awareness instead of suffering. That's the one choice.
Yeah. Yes, and it's perfect when you get to step back and feel the delight of presence in seeing the absurdity of the voices. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does. Then it kind of doesn't matter what you do, right?
Exactly.
Because you're already having the life experience you want to have. So, sure, I'll do that. Sure, why not? What else? You know, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm already here and happy.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it, Sherry. That's a perfect description of it. Because what I saw was, it highlights again the thing that I've been looking at so much in my practice, which is really staying with it, staying with where I am right now. Because what it wants me to do is to make one of those two bad choices. And when I don't actually see what's going on and I make one of those choices, either way, reinforce the karma or reinforce the karma. Either way. But in what you're saying.
And even as if you see it at that juncture, again, it'll offer you two more bad choices.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's where I saw the awareness, the recording and listening. That's what actually steps it into, how did you just say it? You just said, what's possible for us is, oh, right, that you said, at that point, you truly can make either decision. It really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're free no matter what.
Because you're not going to be resentful, and you're not going to feel taken advantage of. In fact, you're going to be happy and grateful.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just think it's brilliant. I've been using it absolutely everywhere. Like, there's some kind of something, little suffering, big suffering. Okay, I'm being given two bad choices. What are they? And it's so fun to find them.
Aha. Because, again, Jen, as soon as that you become aware that that's the process that's going on, you're already where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right now you're in fun pursuit of conditioning. And, of course, it's scurrying to find somewhere to hide.
Truly. Oh, this retreat is brilliant. Thank you. I'm loving it so much.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen. Jen, I can't unmute you, so be careful
quiet.
What you're doing. Yes, keep quiet.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say what I loved about that. That conversation. It points to the strategy being used, because you can almost see this little person standing there being given two bad choices and say, it's up to you to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, pick. And the conditioned, how we've been conditioned is, if I've been given two choices, they are the only two choices.
Yeah.
And that's where we fall for it, right? Because in that narrow, collapsed awareness, the world is reduced to those two choices. And what Jen was talking about as the power of this exercise is, when I step back and look and say, okay, what are the two choices? Because oftentimes it doesn't even feel like there are two choices, because I'm always on one side or the other of the duality. And so the board in which I play the game has been defined for me. And so that's all I have. And to have to be able to use this tool to go, well, these two bad choices, I can step back and go, what else is possible? It's the Indiana Jones clip that we often talk about, right? I have to fight you with a sword. No, I'm just going to take the gun and shoot you, right? I step off the board, and so much shows up for me that I don't even tell. I'm not playing the game you're playing. That's what we've got to get.
That's right. That's right, because the way Jen laid it out, either of those two choices have one purpose, and that is you're going to feel bad.
Yeah.
So to realize that is the game I'm not going to play. So what is my choice here that doesn't lead to feeling bad, doesn't lead to suffering? And then the whole world opens up.
Exactly, and the thing is that the choice, I have often watched you do this, right, in the meditation hall using those bells as props, right? The choice maintains the identity. So who I am when I'm given those choices, it's what Jen was talking about, reinforcing the karma, right? It maintains the me. It's not that the the choices are what I have, the choices maintain the me. So I only have those two choices, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a way in which once I step out of that box, there's a freedom to be anything rather than just the identity that is being maintained through that triangle.
Yes. So another way of saying what you're saying is that ego presents the choices, and then ego accepts one of the choices, and then ego, right, is completely maintained in that whole process. Then ego feels bad, then ego gets a beating, but the whole structure is holding ego karma in place.
Yeah. Yeah, and it dropped in where I was going with that is what Jen said. In that triangle, the choice is what between two things that are bad. But then when I step back, I realize that the real choice in that moment is either suffering or freedom. Freedom from the triangle. But I don't see that. That practitioner is not able to see that if they're identified with the identity that is being maintained by those two choices.
That's right. Yeah, ego is never going to see it. We have to disidentify, which is for me, having a little handy catchphrase like that, you know, what two bad choices am I being offered, is automatic disidentification, right?
Yeah. Okay, my program is back, Sherry. Here we go. Next call. Good. You're not live on me here.
Hello, Isota speaking.
Well, hello, Isota.
You wearing my bag like in the old days.
Say that again?
You guys were in my bag. I don't know if you heard the noise.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's you know, that's how I often know it's you.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Here she comes. What are you seeing?
So, I think now that I was listening to Jen, I think I had fallen into a scam because I think I was like, okay, these are the two choices, and I spent the whole day thinking, okay, so what's the third option? And I was going nuts trying to find the third option, and now I see that this is not the point, right?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one to watch for. So you've been practicing for a while, and so you would look at two bad choices and go, now there has to be something else available. And ego steps right up to say, yes, let's find out what the third bad choice you could make.
Yeah, it was pure like noodling or analyzing, like what is the third option that I'm not seeing, you know? Like, but I just realized it now when I was listening to Jen. While the only option is staying with whatever arises, I guess, right?
Yes. Well, and realizing, those are two bad choices. So the third option is, as folks, I guess as Winnie was the one pointing at this, the third option is, I'm not playing that game.
Exactly.
I'm not going to believe I only have two. The whole world is open to me. There are at least a million choices that could be made in this moment. So what is life guiding me to?
Yes. It makes sense. It makes sense. Because in my case, the aspect of self-care I'm looking at is that when I am very, very busy, I become super impolite with people. And then I get beaten up for it, you know? And so it was, okay, I'm super busy. I don't want to talk to this person. And the two options seem to be, either I make a huge effort, I talk to this person and resent it, kind of what Jen was describing, resenting it, or I tell them, I'm busy, can talk. You know, like the mad chaplain of the beginning of the Alice quote that that Ashwini sent, you know? I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. And this seemed like the two options. And I'm sure, and I was in that, and on top of that, my brain was going, what's the third option? What's the third option? What's the third option?
Right.
I was going even crazier, you know?
That's right. It was busily trying, scrambling to come up with a third option for you. And the point wasn't that it was going to get a third option. It's another way of just being more busy, more frantic.
And distracting me, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, isn't that good to see? Because
it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, people have been talking about this at the monastery a lot recently, that the real third option that's going to happen with this, because you're staying with it and you're watching the process, is, wait a minute, what's going on with this too busy business? What if that's a scam? What if that's a con? What if that's just a conversation in my head? How might life work if I weren't in a frantic, urgent conversation in my head about how busy I am?
Yeah, this is a thing. Then I stopped talking because I don't want to steal time from other people. But this is a thing that came up a couple of days ago of the belief. I realized that the super busy day and the not super busy day are exactly identical.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. Do you know, like when you were saying that sometimes you wake up and you think you're rich and sometimes you wake up and you think you're poor and you have the same amount of money. It was the same thing.
Yes. Oh, that's so helpful, isn't it?
I'm so happy, yes.
Yeah, because now you really do have a place to bring conscious awareness to the process, right? And that's when we were talking a bit ago about we look at the belief and then we look at what's under that belief. And now you're getting to see what's under that assumption that I'm busy is true. And because it's true, I need to X, Y, Z. Right, you're getting to look under that belief. Now you're going to see, well, now what's up with this busy business? Yeah.
Exactly. It's super cool. Thank you so much for
doing this. Super cool. Thank you. Back in the bag.
Back in the bag, exactly.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Isota. That's a lovely place to get to, that all possibilities, all choices are available to me, not just these two. And all includes these two. It's just that the choice I don't make is one for feeling bad. The content is irrelevant. It doesn't need to be attached to feeling bad. The choice is different from feeling bad. That's the choice I don't have to make.
Yes. Yes. And I can see, how did I get here? You know, how did I get to this place of my only two choices are leading to feeling bad? What is setting that up? Because that might not be true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Deanna from Santa Cruz.
Hello, Deanna.
Hello. Let's see. So I'm working with some big, old, deep, difficult karma. I've taken a job where I'm surrounded by staff who have a lot of trauma, and I'm in an open room space where a lot of the people walking in the front door have a lot of trauma. And it's been super hard because what the voices say is I have to do everything I can to help these people stay alive. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, so their actual life is in your hands.
That's what the voice says, yes. I mean,
yeah.
Some of these people are suicidal, for sure. Some of the people on staff and some of the people who walk in the front door, there's a lot of suicidal thinking, a lot of homelessness, big depression, big trauma. And my job, actually, is to raise money for the organization. But what conditioning has convinced me to do is spend as much time as possible helping folks strategize ways to get better and to stay alive. And so it feels life and death. That's what the story says, is this is life and death, and I have to do whatever I can to keep people alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's perfect, isn't it? Because that's not what you're hired to do. And
nope.
And so X amount of time that you're spent with conditioning in that story takes you away from what the people who hired you actually hired you to accomplish. And of course, what you're doing is, we guess, pretty valuable, because if there's no money to keep the doors open, the doors are not going to be open, and then these folks are not going to have anywhere to go. So it's an interesting place to put a person. Interesting. We could also say
right.
Cruel, hateful, horrible, or we could stick with interesting place to put a person, right? Where whichever
right.
way you go, it's Jen's two bad choices again, right? You're wrong, whatever you do. If you ignore somebody because you're pursuing funding, then that's the wrong thing to do. But if you do something that you think could help somebody, well, that's the wrong thing to do, because you should be getting funding for this.
Right, right, right. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very old and deep. I mean, I grew up around some suicidal people and lost people to suicide early in my life. And so it is, you know, the most difficult place for me to practice, one of the most difficult, because the story seems really real. If I don't do something, this person could die.
Go ahead. Tell me what's happening.
Well, what's happening is my own health is now really not good.
There you go.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
I'm
so
diagnosed
belief,
you know, with XYZ. Yeah.
Yeah. The belief that I would ask you to begin to explore, talk about deep, you know, karmic spiritual issues, the belief that staying alive is the most important value, is
yeah.
the highest value. I mean, that's a really important... So, I, too, lost people in my family to suicide and every form of mental illness between there and suicide. I attempted suicide. I know darn good and well from having been in that place that just staying alive was not what I wanted to do. If there was not a dramatic departure from life as I knew it, I saw no reason to be here, which is why I would wish for these people they had recording and listening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Because it takes something other than the conditioned reactions that we've been given. I mean, they've got all the conditioning we've got, right? And it hasn't helped them so far. So adding more conditioned possibilities to the conditioning that's already not working for them, from my own experience and perspective, it's just not helpful. I don't know if that's comforting to you at all.
Yeah, maybe you can say a little more about that, adding more conditioning. I mean, yeah, in some cases, you know, somebody's having a health crisis, and I think, let's have a fundraiser to raise money for your health crisis. So untangle a little bit what you mean about adding more conditioning, meaning I'm adding more conditioning by trying to save them. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, it's what are we saving them for? That's the point. To just go along with life as it is, because that's not working for them. So I'm going to offer that something that could be helpful is unconditional love, respect, a belief in everyone's adequacy, a sense that each person is the ultimate authority on their own life, and to support them in that, rather than coming from an attitude of these people are damaged in some way, they are less adequate than we are, we need to save them, basically save them from themselves. I don't think that's a winning message for anybody.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. No, I get that. And that my savior part does come out. I mean, I'm aware of it, that kind of must save these people, which does exactly contrary to what you're saying. It takes away my belief in their adequacy, in their...
And in yours.
You know.
And in yours, right? Because if you're not sacrificing yourself for someone else, then that's not okay. And yet you can see that attempting to sacrifice yourself for somebody else, now we have one more person in that sinking boat.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, we do.
Yeah. And isn't that kind of the place where you want to be looking at that belief that sacrificing you is somehow helpful?
Right, because then I'm just in the boat sinking and certainly have lost, you know, I certainly have developed some health stuff and don't feel at center, don't feel grounded, don't feel disidentified. You know, I'm much more likely to get identified. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So does that kind of give you a little direction for looking?
I think so. I think a lot of what I'm hearing is stay with the deep belief in trusting their own path and their adequacy and my own adequacy and not falling for the story that I need to give up my health and mental health to save somebody else's health and mental health, because then we're all unhealthy.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we don't know that these folks are not just the bodhisattvas that you've been needing to bring you to this realization.
Yes, I definitely have gotten that hit the last few weeks of, oh my gosh, I put myself in the perfect place to spiritually
save Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very good. Now, of course, because you are a practitioner, I'm going to just reinforce what I said earlier. I would really get out that recorder, start talking with the mentor, start getting some clarity for yourself, and perhaps get inspired that having that unconditionally loving, wise presence in your life is what you've been looking for, and it might just be something that other people could benefit from as well. That's what's missing in a person's life who doesn't want to be here.
Right. So rather than going to fixing, just be the compassionate, unidentified person, loving, respectful person.
That's right. Who knows they're okay. They may not see that mirrored anywhere else, but that's what they're looking for. You're okay.
Right.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're equal to this. You can do this. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay. Let us know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Deanna.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thank you.
That is such a powerful reminder, Sherry, for us to keep looking, because we're so conditioned to go to that place of the right person thing to do. It's what we were talking about in the radio show yesterday on open air, that feeling bad is our contribution. But to recognize that feeling bad is the result of two bad choices that are being offered really allows us to step back, because the choices are everybody's in the sinking boat, and I don't get that. Until I do something like this and bring awareness to the situation, to go, it's the belief that's really keeping me in a position of a bad choice. within quotes,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is the feeling that job.
All right. Wow. That's
Think we're what are we, a day 10 or 11 or something? Let's get to the deep stuff.
Well, we are. So here's our next assignment.
That was a little joke because I don't think we can get much deeper than we've gotten today, but we'll see.
Well, this is the ultimate question. So here's the assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue?
Mm.
What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the good, right person thing to do is to be responsible. Above all else, I must be responsible. That's the karmic choice I make over exercising. Record and listen what you see.
Mm. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Thanks. Take care of
Take
yourselves.
Care.
Okay. Bye-bye.